just screwing up two teams. Anyway, no way to transition, so I'm not even going to try to. Eric Kareen covers the Raptors for The Athletic, is with us today. Eric, good afternoon. Thanks for joining the show.
Thanks for having me, Matt. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm looking outside. There's a lot of snow here. Where are you right now? Can I get a weather report? Mostly because I want to drive up north of Barrie after the show today, and I'm sort of debating that.
Yeah, I thankfully do not live north of Barrie. No offense to the people who do. It's just not for me. I'm coming to you live from East Toronto, east end of the Danforth proper, I would say. I don't want to get more specific, lest, you know, people come to my house and barrage me with Raptors questions, as would surely happen. But yeah, I'm seeing the similar snow. There were some big flakes. We let our dog out for a moment, and he was in short time covered in said flakes. But the flakes appear to be getting smaller, and I think we're going to be okay, man.
Everybody, go to Danforth in Maine. Look for Eric Kareen and ask him lots of questions about the Toronto Raptors. Let's start with just sort of a bigger sort of philosophical one. Every day, I think most of us worry a little bit about the minutes, and then we see what does a team look like late, and oh God, they're shooting poorly. But at some point, do we have to just give up our fear and give the coach and the players the benefit of the doubt? Or is the concern that coaches are control freaks who want to win every game? Like, I've been going back and forth on this one, Eric, about how I should be feeling about the heavy minutes for players like Van Vliet and Siakam.
I mean, I think if you're just, you know, for your mental health state, there are probably better things to worry about. But
no, nope, that's it. This is number one. We all know it.
Yeah, that's probably why we watch sports, so we don't have to think about the real things that we should be worrying about, at least in part. I think it's a very real concern. And, you know, I've been tweeting a bunch, which is always a mistake. But like the Raptors have been pretty bad offensively over the last few games since the Phoenix game. And that's sort of when the minutes of the Raptors, you know, top 3-4 players have always been high, but that's really when they've gone into overdrive. And it's tempting to want to say there's causation here. I think, you know, it's reasonable to assume that's part of things, but not all of things. But yeah, you've got to worry long-term about these guys. You know, whenever a team is the most extreme of 30 on relying on its, you know, top-end players, I mean, that bears observation, certainly. And the one thing I always want to emphasize when talking about minutes or talking about health, because, you know, both Dwayne Casey and Nick Nurse at times have relied on their best players, like few other teams, is the Raptors internally have a lot more metrics other than minutes played that will determine how heavy a load a player has at any given time. So by definition, we know a lot less about what these guys are going through than the team does, but it's concerning, and it's especially concerning when the Raptors have a more compressed second half than other teams because they have three games to make up that were postponed in the first half. So I think there's a middle ground, as I usually do, as you know, Matt. That's why you come have me on for these unsatisfactory answers. I think, you know, we don't have to just wave it away, but you also have to give some credit to an organization that has dealt with these sort of things before.
MVP.
Hot takes from Eric Kareen, for Raptors reporter for The Athletic. Yeah, and I am sort of going back and forth between giving the benefit of the doubt, but then, you know, we see the impact of heavy minutes, what it can have. Let's see, do we stick with Raptors or bigger concern, wealth inequality or climate crisis? Which way would you like to go, Eric?
I am tremendously underqualified to talk about the latter.
All right. Well, then. That's up to you, because man, I had some doozies of a question for you. Just the last week or so, how frustrating is it as a Raptor fan when you see them you see the Raptors beat the Bucks with a pretty healthy Bucks team and having leads late against the Suns, the Heat, and the Mavs, and they were a couple shots away from winning some of those games. And then the other end, losing, getting blown out by Detroit and what we saw against Portland. I mean, as a Leaf fan, how difficult is this? Just sort of, there's no sort of stability, it seems, right now with them.
I'd even throw in the first quarter and change against Washington, right? Like that was a bad quarter of basketball, and they were run off the floor, and they made their way back into it, and props to them. It's when you're talking about an undermanned team or a team with a smaller rotation, I think there are, by definition, going to be nights like that the... You know, the quality of focus just isn't quite there. So it's all, you know, it's easy to say you beat Milwaukee if you had that same effort and focus a night earlier. You beat Detroit too, but the nature of an 82 game season is that there will be nights like that. I don't think it frustrates me that much.
Oh, not you. And you're an emotion. You have zero emotion. You've got ice in your veins.
That's what the drugs are for. They just get rid of the emotions. I do understand the frustration, certainly, and sort of comes back to the minutes question, because they play in a way on defense that is so taxing that you wonder about the cumulative effect, not necessarily in terms of being susceptible to injury, but to be able to do that night in and night out and still have a passable offense. I mean, the offense is clearly what has struggled most recently, both in like the close games or wins against very good teams or in the big losses. Like the defense just hasn't been there. The offense just hasn't been there. And the defense has, you know, either been fine or been done in by offense, by turnovers on offense. So
yeah,
I think it's hard to separate all the first and the second question you asked me for me. So I don't think it's an effort thing. I do think there is some question of how sustainable all of this is, not only the minutes, but the style with so few players. That's a legitimate question, I think.
How much can the offense get better just through internal improvement and health?
I think it can, you know, going into the season, it was easy to speculate that the half court offense would be the weakest part of this team. And, you know, despite them being, I believe, 12th in offensive rating and 18th in defensive rating, I think that's true. Like they've been a bottom 10, bottom 5 half court offense team all year long. And it's really the second chances and the sheer number of turnovers they're creating and transition opportunities they're creating that is allowing them to rise to that level overall offensively. So I think it's limited, this roster. I think there are some things to do. I really like the looks with Scotty Barnes as a screener. I think that would naturally, we saw that a lot against Washington. And the Raptors are in a weird place. When they start small, they don't necessarily know who's going to be guarding who. So when Washington had their center on Scotty Barnes, it made sense to screen with Scotty Barnes. And if Portland doesn't throw Yusuf Nurkic onto Barnes and they're putting him on OG or they're putting him on Siakam, it's not as easy a thing to do, because if a center is not involved, there's more likely to be switching and then you lose the power of that screen. Saying that, I think there are more two-man actions and two-man action combos beyond just Van Vliet and Siakam in one combination or another to employ, even though, you know, Van Vliet and Siakam are the two guys you want in your actions most often.
Yeah.
But I do think that Barnes' passing can really be activated by using him as a screener a bit more.
That's
the first thing that jumps to mind.
Yeah. Oh, no, I agree. From a betting perspective, there was a run where if you just took the player prop, took the Scotty Barnes over assists, you were winning that on more nights than you weren't. And, you know, we've seen that since the first game of the year against Washington. We're joined by Eric Kareen from The Athletic. Nick Nurse talking about no fans, says it sucks. He went on to say it sucks. It does. It sucks. It's, you know, you got to read between the lines of his thoughts. Maybe we can delve a little bit into the emotion going on there. But I'm curious your thoughts on what that the environment is like.
I mean, it's not good. It's an empty arena with fake noise, and it's bizarre. And I imagine coming off a 5-game road trip in which you played in some pretty, you know, loud gyms, it takes a lot to get used to it. Saying that, they're doing it more than any other team, so it's not really an excuse for, you know, yes, for Sunday. I think that, you know, that was a bizarre game for a number of reasons, and I do think there was a large degree of luck involved. Like, I didn't think that was actually among the Raptors' worst efforts of the year. I thought the first quarter against Washington was worse. But, you know, there are moments, like who knows how loud when the Raptors were making their comeback in the fourth quarter, that crowd would have been. Does that keep Ben McLemore from hitting every open corner three he takes? Does that, you know, make it harder for Nazir Little, who's playing great for Portland, to, you know, hit some of those in-between shots? Maybe. But it's not, you know, and I phrased this, I said it when I asked it to Nick Nurse, like, it's obviously not an excuse, but it doesn't take a level of an adjustment. So I think that's where we are. Like, the Raptors can't rely on it, on crowd to pick them up. They should know that better than anybody. But as Nurse said, like, it's still a bummer. It does not feel like the rest of the games feel. So, yeah, not fun. But the concourses, I can't tell you how much room I have in them when I'm walking around the building. It's been great.
Secretly, how much do you love the fact that there are no fans there?
It does a lot for my COVID anxiety. Like, that's good. Yeah. Like, the one game I didn't go to this year at home was the game, I think it was against Golden State when they still had 6,000 or 7,000 fans coming in, and Omicron numbers were on the rise. I'm like, this is going to a shutdown soon. I'm going to watch this one from home and then get used to it. So for now, like, I do like it, but I mean, I empathize with all the players and coaches. Like, I definitely miss it. It's not at all like everybody's favorite in-game experience has to do with a crowd, you know, either being silenced or making an absurd amount of noise. So I like it in one way, but definitely overall I miss it, and hopefully we're in a position where they can safely fill the arena again by, I guess, March 14th would be the date that they're looking for, for that.
Yeah, and last one, I was going to ask, if God is good, how come bad things happen to good people? I'll save that for next time. I'm joined by Eric Kareen from The Athletic. Why are they still doing a lot of the songs and music and just the in-game thing? Like, is that for the players? Is that just out of habit?
It's got to be. Because if they were, you know, I would love right now for them to lean into it and not play anything and be able to hear the shoes squeaking and be able to hear some talk between the players, even though, you know, who knows what might come out of that. That's what 7-second delays are for, I would counter. But I think there is certainly something that to the fact that they want players to feel that this is as normal as possible. I will say, after the first song post-game is done, so like the song you'll hear once the Raptors win or lose, instead of them continuing to play songs, the system just goes off. Like, there's no more audio. And like, the silence is like so pleasurable, because usually you're just hearing that thumping or that music for, as you know, three or four songs, I would say. Now you just get the one and then it goes silent. And if you're filing on deadline or just thinking about what to write, it is very, it's nice. But yeah, I would say the reason is the players.
Yeah. Well, I do hope eventually we get to a place where your commute gets worse and it's super loud and it makes it difficult for you to write articles, because at least it means then we got a full barn. Eric, always appreciate taking the time. And, yeah, if you do take your dog out for another walk, be prepared for snow on your dog when it comes back inside.
Will do, Matt. Be well, and appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. Take care. That is Eric Kareen. Read his work in The Athletic, covering all things Raptors and sometimes things